Amen. Perfect. Thank you. Okay, so just a review, what are some of our intents or purposes through studying 1st and 2nd Timothy? What are some of the goals that we established at the beginning of our class? This is going to be quick, so just shoot them out to me. What were some things we talked about that were going to be important throughout this class?
One of them related to our memory verse of what's relevant, how to behave in the church.
Absolutely. You're exactly right. So kind of what we do here and why we do it and how we can ultimately do it better to the glory of God. What are some other things, some other goals that we had for this class starting back a few snow Sundays ago? What else? What do we do at the end of every class?
Application.
And what does it mean, application? Absolutely. It's not enough to just read and to study and to say, oh yeah, those are good principles, but then not to use it, right? And that's really, I think it's very applicable because Paul is constantly reminding Timothy, remember what you've been taught. Pay attention. Give attention to these things that you read and you study and use them in your everyday life, how you live and how you interact with the brethren there at Ephesus. What else? What are some goals for this class?
Pray specifically.
Absolutely. 100%. I hope this is helping us to refocus not only this class, but our lives on what's really important. Because as one that is sometimes struggling with that balance, it's easy to get caught up in life and to forget what's really important. So memory verses. Memory verse from chapter 1, verse 5. Somebody want to give us that? Any one person want to volunteer to put themselves on the line? 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5. I'll help you. It says, now the purpose is love.
Pure heart
and a good conscience and a sincere faith. Perfect. Absolutely. Chapter 2, verse 5 and 6. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. And then chapter 3, verses 14 through 15. These things I write to you, though I hope to come to you shortly. But if I am delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth. Right? And then chapter 4, which is the verse we're going to start off with today, is verses 12 through 13, which is, I think, really important to kind of what Paul's purpose in writing to Timothy is. Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in what six things? In word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. And then Paul tells Timothy to do what? Till I come, give attention to three things: reading, exhortation, and to doctrine. So one more time, verses 12 through 13. Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attention to reading, exhortation, and a doctrine. Perfect. So purpose of letters to Timothy. What is Paul trying to tell Timothy through these letters?
How to be a faithful evangelist.
There's one, right? So to be faithful, I mean, he's a preacher, right? So faithful preacher. What else? What are the other purposes?
Keep the brethren focused on the right thing.
Yeah. Focus. Not only for him, but for the brethren. Yeah, focus the brethren. What else? I heard something.
Say determination.
Say it again.
Be determined.
To be determined? Yeah, okay. I'll take that.
Teach no other doctrine.
Absolutely. Teach the right doctrine. What else? What is Paul's purpose writing these letters to Timothy? Absolutely. We talked about conduct, right? Conduct has been huge. What else? We've talked a lot about. We've talked about males. We've talked about females. We talked about old. We talk about young. What are those?
Roles.
Absolutely. Is this letter applicable to us today?
Yes.
110%, if you could go that high. All right, so absolutely important. So looking through 1 through 11, which we talked about last week, is there anything that stands out to you? And what are some important principles, verses 1 through 11? What is Paul warning again? What was that? Absolutely, departing from the truth. He's also warning of the teachings that are going on. And we talked about this last week, asceticism. What does asceticism mean?
Neglect or severe treatment of yourself.
Absolutely, for a religious reason, right? And so one of the common false teachings that was going on right now, and I have to tell you, has continued to go on, is this asceticism. This idea that in order for you to be right with God, that you had to cut yourself off from certain things. And what were the things that were mentioned here in 1 Timothy chapter 4?
Food.
Food was one of them. Food and marriage. Patricia, you're only supposed to say one. So food. What was the other one?
Marriage.
Absolutely. And why was this teaching going on? What was the purpose of it?
Really, they had this idea that if you enjoy anything, you're not right with God.
Exactly right. Yeah. It was this mindset that if you were to enjoy these certain things, then there was a relationship error with you and God. And so they went to the extreme to say, in order for you to be completely right with God, you have to cut all of this stuff off. And the problem is we're not seeing that in Scripture. And what we have to understand is that there are going to be teachings that come up on a regular basis, and we need to be able to line them up with God's Word. And if they don't match with God's Word, what do we always take every day of the week? God's Word. It is the truth, right? What other things did we learn through 1 through 11 last week? So that was the beginning part. We talked about apostasy. What was 6 through 11? What were some big things that we need to take away?
Focus on godliness rather than physical discipline.
Absolutely. That was a big thing. And we didn't, I don't think, put enough emphasis on that last week. But focus on God and less on physical. And what is Paul meaning here?
Exercise.
Okay. Sure. That could be one. What else is Paul meaning here? What is the priority of our lives? God is the priority. Molly?
I was going to say physical is limited to this life.
Sure. Absolutely. And I have to tell you, that's probably a very difficult thing. Because all we see is what? Physical. And this is a hard concept. And I think even for brethren in the church, for us to understand that there's a greater purpose for our life. And sometimes we need to refocus, and I think that's what Paul's telling us here. We need to be careful. It's faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance. For to this end we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those who believe. These things command and teach. All right, so here we're reminded what Paul is reminding Timothy. Remember these things, and then to do what with them?
Do them
and teach them and live it. And then,
carefully.
Absolutely. Why did you say that, Randy?
The details are important.
The details are important. You're exactly right. And we're going to understand that right now. That's a perfect segue. Details. Okay, so verse 12, which is our memory verse. It says, let no one despise your youth, but be an example to believers in what six things? In speech? In conduct? In love? What other the other three things? Absolutely. So look at this. Let's talk about this. Let's talk about these six things. So we've got speech in one translation. What are the other ones? Got conduct. We've got faith. Love. Spirit. And in purity, right? Some translations say word. Okay? So let's look at these. And we talked about the details. All right? So why is Paul reminding Timothy of these six things? What is Paul, or what is Timothy again? What is his job? He's a preacher. All right? So as a preacher, are these six things important, Jared? Yes, absolutely. These are the foundations of what a preacher is and what he does. Because if he's not these six things, when he's at the pulpit preaching, how meaningful are those words going to be?
It's going to make him a hypocrite.
Perfect. I agree. All right, so let's look at this. So it says, let no one despise your youth. What are we understanding right here about Timothy? He was a young man. What does young man mean in the Roman time frame? What would we think Timothy's age would probably be? What was that? 20s? Okay, what else?
Could be up to 30.
Absolutely. So from the study that I have done, it could be up to 40. Right? So a lot of people guess that Timothy was probably in his mid-30s. All right? So to be young, Paul is reminding, do not let anyone despise your youth. Why would one despise Timothy's youth?
Don't think he knows what he's doing because he's so young.
Okay, there's one. Might be some misunderstanding because, you know, he's young. But what is Paul getting ready to challenge Timothy to do when we get into chapter 5?
Study.
To study. He's also called to rebuke those who are older. Is that a difficult thing for a young person to do to an older person?
Yeah.
Probably pretty difficult because older people think... Younger people and older people think what? Older people know everything. She said it, not me. All right? What else? Why would it be difficult?
Because you have to respect your elders.
Sure, absolutely. So it says, let no one despise your youth.
Just to say, we old people are not going to pay any attention to you young.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially you, Jeff.
Yeah.
But you're exactly right. You're absolutely. So there's this kind of this mindset, this thinking. And so Paul's reminding to me, don't let anyone despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in what? What does he start with?
Possession.
What was that?
Word.
In word, right? And so why does he start with word? What is the word?
The Bible,
the truth, the scriptures, right? And he says to go from there. And then he bases off on these five other things. And he talks about conduct. Why is conduct important for a preacher?
Because it's what other people see.
Because it's what other people see, right? Because you're kind of more or less the face, right? You're kind of the mouthpiece. You're kind of what, you know, a church says, you know, hey, this is our preacher. And their foundation should be interlocked with the church's foundations, right? So it's what they see. What else? Why is conduct important for a young preacher or a preacher in general?
The preacher is a window on the church.
Okay, a window on the church. That's kind of a neat analogy. I like that. Okay, what else? Conduct. Is it important for a preacher to have good conduct, Jared?
Yeah, and I would go beyond that because he's saying that you're supposed to set an example for the believers, which means it's important for everyone. It's what everybody's supposed to be following.
Yeah. Okay. Perfect. All right. And then what's the next thing he says? He says love. Why is it important for a preacher to have love? Anybody but Jared. Why is it important for a preacher to have love? Scriptures teach it. That's one.
God is love.
God is love. That's a good one. Two, right? What else?
You need to have a care for those that you're preaching to.
Absolutely. The whole purpose of preaching is to try to save the lost. If you don't have a love, then I would question what you're doing.
Make the church more inviting.
Okay, perfect. And then the fourth thing we see here is in spirit. We see this word spirit throughout Scripture. What is this word spirit meaning here in 1 Timothy chapter 4?
Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit? Okay. What else? What else could this word spirit mean?
What actually drives him?
Okay. What drives him? What else? What does the word spirit usually mean when we find it throughout Scripture? There's one Patricia mentioned, usually sometimes the Holy Spirit. I would argue that's probably not this in this context. What else does it mean?
Then it must be our spirit.
What was that?
Our spirit?
Possibly. Sometimes when we look at the word spirit found in the New Testament, we think of the word gift. Mm-hmm. Right? So Timothy was given a gift. And what is that gift? His ability. Absolutely. Paul saw it. A lot of people have seen it. And so Paul is reminding Timothy, think about that spirit. Think about that gift that you have been given to do this very important work. All right? And then the fifth thing we see here is faith. Is a faith important for a preacher? Yes. I thought we would get more yeses by then. Absolutely, faith is extremely important, right? It's the bedrock of what a preacher does and what we do as Christians. And then the last thing that we see here is purity. How important is purity? What is purity?
What's it about in sexual kinds?
Okay.
Not to have sexual sin.
Okay. All right, so that's a form of purity. What does purity mean?
Without blemish.
So what's that?
Without blemish.
Without blemish. Jim?
Genuineness.
Genuineness, absolutely. Is it important for a preacher to have these things? Absolutely, 100%. And the next verse talks about, till I come, give attention to three things. What are the three things? Reading. Reading, exhortation, and what? Why these three things? Absolutely, right? So I believe as a preacher, this should be the bedrock of what they do. And sometimes there's a disconnect between a preacher and a congregation. Sometimes a congregation wants evidence and proof of what a preacher is doing. But the reality, this should be the bedrock of what they do. A majority of their time should be reading, to exhortation, to doctrine, to know the Word of God, and to be finding ways to share that with people. Some congregations will put a lot of responsibilities on preachers. And I think Timothy is reminding us this is the priority for preachers. Jared, would you agree?
The New American Standard has an interesting take on it, which refers to it as the public reading of Scripture. It's to the sharing of God's Word.
Yeah, I like that. The public reading. All right, so what does it mean to exhort or to have exhortation?
Chastise.
Okay. I guess that could be a form. What else?
Encourage.
Encourage. You're exactly right. So, reading of public word or private reading of the word, exhortation, and then to doctrine. Why do we end on doctrine? It's a foundation. It's the whole point of why Paul is writing this, to remember what you have been taught, Timothy. To keep that as the forefront in your heart and in your mind. Verse 14 says, do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying of the hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress be made evident to all. All right, so this verse has brought up some interesting discussion. So why in verse 14? What is Paul ultimately saying to Timothy here in verse 14? What is he telling him to not neglect? He has a spiritual gift, right? And what is that spiritual gift? It's teaching. Absolutely. And so we see here, do not neglect this gift that is in you, which was given to you by what? By prophecy and laying on of hands. So there's a couple of things that I think we should pull out here. So what is Paul talking about when he says by prophecy? What are some possible explanations of this? Let's think about Paul and Timothy's relationship. Where did Paul find Timothy? In Derbe, right outside of Lystra. And so what was noted of Timothy back in Acts chapter 16? Absolutely, right? So right here in verse 1 of chapter 16, it says, the son of a certain Jewish woman who believed, but his father was a Greek. He was well spoken by the brethren who were at Lystra and Iconium. And Paul wanted to have him go on with him. And he took him, and he did what with him? He had him circumcised. Why did he have him circumcised? Because his father was a Greek. And was that going to be a problem for some Jews? 100%. And so Timothy said, okay, I'll be willing to do that. Remember, he's a young man and had no need to do this, but ultimately did this so that he wouldn't be a stumbling block to those Jews that he was trying to teach. And so we see Paul saying, I wanted him to go on with him. And as they went through the cities, they delivered to them the decrees which were determined by the apostles and the elders at Jerusalem. So the churches were strengthened in the faith and increased in number daily. So what do we see here about Timothy? What did Paul do? Paul chose Timothy. Right? And so we know that Timothy was a young man. Who else was a young man that Paul didn't necessarily want? John Mark. Absolutely. We know some history with John Mark and Paul. There were some differences. But we see here that Paul chooses Timothy to be a part of his work. And so looking here in verse 14, it says, do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy, with the laying on of hands of the eldership. All right, so there's a couple of things that I think are important for us to understand. So when we look throughout Scripture, the word gift can mean a couple of things. The first thing that we see is the gift of the Holy Spirit, which we see in 1 Corinthians 12, given by the apostles in Acts chapter 8. Or we also see to one's natural ability, like a God-given gift, we would say, somebody's ability to do something. And then also we see it pertain the gift of salvation. And so looking at those three things, we would think here most likely that Timothy had an ability, a God-given ability that Paul noticed in Timothy and chose him to be a part of the work. And then the laying on of hands of the eldership, what would that mean? When we see the laying on of hands in Scripture, what are the things that it could mean?
Well, when the apostles did it, it was to bestow power, gifts of that nature.
Yeah.
It was also done to appoint people for certain roles or tasks.
Absolutely. So two things, right? So we see the apostles had the ability to lay on of hands to give the Holy Spirit, right? This special gift that was given to the apostles. And then we also see it being given to appoint somebody for a position or title, right? And so why would the elders lay on of hands for Timothy? What was Timothy doing? He was preaching. So who would have been the ones that laid on hands appointing him for this title? What elders? What was that? Not the apostles. Which elders are we talking about most likely here in 1 Timothy chapter 4? The ones here in Ephesus. All right, and so we see this, and it says, meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them that your progress may be evident to all. In verse 15, Paul is reminding Timothy to do what?
Grow.
To grow. You're exactly right. To grow in what?
Doctrine.
What was that?
I mean, he mentioned it
previously. Absolutely. I think it's going right back to verse 12. To grow in these things. To grow in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Every day, Timothy, I want to remind you to grow in these things. So that you can be a gift to the church in Ephesus and to all that come in contact with hearing the word of God. So that they too may be given this understanding of what you are doing. And then in verse 16 it says, take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this you will save both yourself and those who hear you. What an amazing verse. What is Paul saying to Timothy right here? What's he tell him first? Take heed who? To yourself. Why to yourself? Absolutely.
It's kind of like removing the speck from your own eye or the log from your own eye.
Absolutely. It's kind of that idea, I would rather see a sermon than hear one any day of the week. The reality is, most of what a preacher says isn't coming from the pulpit. It's coming from who he is as an individual. And you know, when you're in a plane, they tell you to put the oxygen mask on yourself before you try to save anyone else. The fact is, put that emphasis in yourself. And with that, Timothy, then who do you focus on? Others. Yourself and then others. And give heed and take attention to which things? All the things we've talked about. Going back to the memory verse. Memory verse 12 and 13 says, let no one despise your youth, but be an example to believers. In word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attention to what three things? Reading, exhortation, and to doctrine. Any thoughts through chapter 4? Randy?
I don't know if we have time, but the other side of this coin, so this text tells Timothy to stay focused. Complementary to that is in Ephesians 3, beginning at verse 8, and I don't know that we have time
go ahead.
To go through this. But it's very complementary, but this is to the congregation to also be focused, and it tells us the purpose of the focus. Beginning at verse 8, to me who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. Therefore, I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulation for you, which is your glory. So in verse 10, it tells us one of the purposes of the church is to reveal God's wisdom. And so many religious institutions today just dilute all of that into these human and earthly activities. And when any group does that, they stop revealing God's wisdom. Now they're trying to reveal man's wisdom. So Timothy's written to the evangelist, Ephesians to the congregation, but it's the same message.
Absolutely. Great. Those are great thoughts, Randy. Any other thoughts through chapter 4? So let's answer these last couple of questions. So we talked about what areas Timothy was to be an example to the believers. But what about you and me? What areas are we to be example to believers?
Family?
Family? That's a great one. How so? How can we be examples to those by family?
Not boldness, but not fighting with them.
Okay, not fighting with them? What other areas can we be an example to believers? Okay, standing for the truth? Sure, 100%. I would say all six of these areas are completely applicable to you and to me. But yeah, family, the way we conduct ourselves at work, the way we bring our children up, absolutely, 100%. Yes, sir? Sure, absolutely, right? Being a united front and standing for truth, 100%. And the next question that we see here is, what two things are mentioned to Timothy to ensure his progress would be evident to all in verse 15?
Meditate.
What else?
Close attention to yourself and to what you say.
Yes. Close attention to yourself and to what you teach. Is that also applicable for you and for me? Yes. And then the last question. I really like this question. Because one thing that I think that we fail to put emphasis on is the importance of preaching. And I think that there is a negligence sometimes when trying to tell people the importance of wanting to desire that work. We put a lot of emphasis in being a doctor or being an astronaut or whatever it may be. But the reality is preaching is extremely important. And so if you were to write a letter to somebody who was wanting to be a preacher, who was a preacher, giving them advice, what are some things that you would say to them from this chapter 4?
Read.
A lot. Absolutely. Yours is a short letter. I like it. Yeah, read a lot, right?
And I would add to that, read the Bible.
Absolutely.
Don't get caught up in everything else.
Perfect.
Just this.
Okay, so read a lot. What else? Jared's answered. Everyone else has to answer now. What else? What else would you tell a preacher? Jared cheated because he's kind of a preacher. He knows what's inside out. All right? What else? What advice would you give to somebody who wanted to be a preacher who was a young preacher? Read a lot. Yes, ma'am.
Verse 6, remember who you're working for.
Wow, that was good. Yeah, that was good. Yes.
Verse 6 says, you will be a good servant of Jesus Christ. And then follows into what Jared was saying, constantly nourish on the word.
100%. Yes. It's Jason.
I was just going to say, read more.
Read more. Okay. What else?
Read to others.
Read to others. Okay.
Exhortation is an important part, and so you have to work on how can you exhibit encouragement to others and different people. So you got to know your people. How can I encourage this person versus that person?
Yes, yes, very good. Three more, and we'll move on to chapter 5.
Interact.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Well, this is kind of a given along with read, but apply it.
Apply. Yeah, application. Right. It's not enough to just read it. You got to apply it. Yes. Okay, three more. Perfect. Excellent. Good. Woo. Wow, that's great. Yes.
Stay humble.
Stay humble. Yes. Shift.
The six things in verse 12, if you don't have those six things, you're probably going to burn out. If you don't have love, you don't have faith, you're going to burn out as a preacher.
Yeah.
No matter how much you
read. Yeah.
Yes. I was going to say teach some classes. You'll probably understand this very well right now. I learn the absolute best when I have to teach it.
Sure.
Because I prepare more and I look into it more.
Yeah.
So if you teach, you'll learn a lot more.
Yeah.
Prepare yourself.
Randy.
The issue of meditate. You know, even Psalm says, the one that is blessed is the one that reads and meditates. It's something we, with our busy life today, a lot of time we don't have time. But we really benefit by having time, scheduling time to think about what we read as we're applying it as husbands and wives and parents. Sometimes verses don't make sense until we actually experience and work through it. And we do that by spending time meditating on it, thinking about it. How does this apply? And if we don't, it's like prayer. If we don't plan and intentionally put that into our schedule, it doesn't happen.
Yeah, absolutely. Any other thoughts? Yes, sir. Absolutely. Very good. And the last thing I would say for advice is I would say find a Bonnie, right? The importance of having somebody that understands the importance of your work and somebody that can be a balance with that, because there's a lot of responsibility for her as well, right? Absolutely. Great thought. So chapter 5, let's get into 1 Timothy chapter 5. We don't have a lot of time, so let's, yes, ma'am.
One thing we can forget is pray.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, let's write that, because that's definitely to pray. And we need to pray for him and for Bonnie, but also that we can be what he needs, right?
And for guidance as well.
Absolutely. It's a great thought. Great thought to end on. So chapter 5, verses 1 and 2 says, "Do not rebuke an older man, but exhort him as a father. Younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, younger women as sisters, with all purity. Honor widows who are really widows." All right, so that's our memory verse for chapter 5. And it says, "Do not rebuke an older man, but exhort him as what? As a father. Younger men as brothers. Older women as mothers. Younger women as, with all purity, honor widows who are widows indeed," are really widows, right? So let's look at this. Why is it important for Timothy to do these things? Is this kind of cover the congregation? For the most part, it does. Absolutely. So he's telling him, you're going to be working with older men. What do you need to do with them? Exhort them as what? Fathers. And in throughout God's word, we are to do what with our fathers and mothers?
Honor them.
That's going to be the theme of this chapter. Honoring those who are your mother and father, right? And then we see younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, younger women as sisters. So we talked about kind of the mother and the father, but what about sisters and brothers? How are we to be towards them? Are we supposed to be rude, hateful, unloving? How are we to treat our brothers and sisters?
Loving.
Loving, okay. What else?
Caring.
Say again.
Caring.
One more time.
Caring.
Caring. Thank you. Sorry. What else?
Sharing.
Sharing. Is that what he said? No, that's what you said. Okay. Perfect. Sharing. What else? Two more. Okay. I was hoping, Rod, we weren't supposed to get there quite yet. That was going to be my end argument. Perfect. Absolutely. Right? All of this is to be grounded in purity. Why would Timothy or Paul challenge Timothy to be in purity with all of these people? What does it mean to be pure? Why would he say that? To have all of this grounded in purity when he's talking about these relationships? Best interest? Okay. What else?
Above reproach.
Above reproach? That was a good one. Absolutely. 100%. Right? To be above reproach. To realize that these relationships matter. And that people see how you interact with these people. And they're going to take note. And it's important for elders to be above reproach. And it's important for preachers to be above reproach. What does it mean to be above reproach? Absolutely. All right. So that there is no misconduct. No one can see misconduct at all when it comes to your relationships.
There's no questioning of motives.
No questioning of motives. And then honor widows who are really widows. Why would Paul say this? Because we're about to get into a discussion of who's really a widow and who's not really a widow. Right? So the real widows, please come over here. Those who are pseudo widows, please come over here. Right? So we're about to get into something of importance. Was the treating of widows important in God's word? Yes. Why was it important? What were widows looked at?
They very often were without it. Of course, they didn't have a husband to help them. But
lot of times they were abandoned by society.
Absolutely. I have to tell you, it's probably night and day different than our society now. All right, so let's look at Acts chapter 16, and then this will be the last thing we look at, and then we'll talk about our application. All right, so Acts chapter 16, what do we see here in Acts chapter 16? What's going on? That's what I meant, and that's where I'm at, and that's why I was wondering why nobody was saying anything. So chapter 6, yes, right here. What is verse 1 telling us? What was going on? It's not 16.
The church was taking care of their widows almost. Some of them were getting neglected.
Almost. So it says, now in these days, when the number of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against who? The Hebrews by the Hellenists, because their widows were being what? Neglected. And why were they being neglected? I think there's multiple reasons here, but what was ultimately going on here? A little bit of favoritism, right? It says the widows were neglected in the daily distribution. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, hey, we've got a problem here, and it's a big problem, and we need to fix it. So what was the solution?
Trustworthy men.
Absolutely. We're going to appoint some men who one of their responsibilities is to take care of these widows. And was that to be like check in once a week? Once a month? Once a year? No, this was to be a job on a day-to-day basis because it was important. Because we see the importance of widows. So that's where we'll close. We'll start there at 1 Timothy chapter 5. Let's review the memory verse one more time for 1 Timothy chapter 5. Do not rebuke an older man, but exhort him as a father, younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, younger women as sisters, with all purity, honor widows who are really widows. Perfect. All right, so we've come to that point in class where we talk about application. So I'm looking for five today, and three of them from somebody I haven't heard from. So don't make the children wait. Let's go. What are some applications for this week's study? Yes, sir.
Treat others as we treat ourselves.
Sure. Yeah. And how can you do that this week?
Well, I think, Timothy was saying, or Paul was saying that. I don't know.
Okay. No, I appreciate it. Yeah.
On that, we encourage the young people rather than looking down on them.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I'm thinking that we're treat others.
Yeah, I completely agree. Encourage others. And that means I need to encourage Landon. All right? Yes, sir.
Be diligent and upright in all things that you do.
Okay, so be diligent and upright. And how do you do that? Remember, we're not just saying something, we're applying it. So give me a real life way that you're going to use it. Be diligent, upright. Give me one example. Okay, perfect. Okay, two more. Sean.
Studying daily.
Studying daily. Okay. One more. Say. Oh, that was good. Megan, what's your gift?
I have no idea.
Okay. All right. I think that's a great way. So don't neglect your gifts, but maybe we should spend some time in prayer trying to figure out what our true gift is, what God gave each and every one of us. I'm grateful for you. Jared's going to lead us in a word of prayer real quick.
Let's pray. Our great God, our Father in heaven,